God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am a part of God's song. I am one perfect tone. I am in tune with the frequency of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am encoded with God's name. I am living in God's flame. I am eternal as the Spirit of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. Secure in the peace of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am embraced in love and light. I am protected by God's might. I am safe in the arms of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am breathing the breath of God.
Welcome to the Light. This program, The True Testament, is brought to you by Light Enterprises, LLC, whose mission it is to correct the errors that have been printed in the New Testament about Jesus, the one you know as Jesus. His real name was Ishu. And we're going to talk a little bit more tonight about the things that are in this book, the things about Jesus. But before we get started, I would like to say a prayer. Great Father of Life, we thank you for our lives and for the great gift of life you have bestowed upon us. We ask blessings for all those in the world who are suffering, whether they are in the floods of Colorado, or the war in Afghanistan, or the emotional despair of the chaotic world we live in. We ask blessings of safety and protection, of peace and joy, and of unconditional love and forgiveness. Father, we know that you love all your children and that there is no death, there is only life. Our body may drop away, but our spirits are eternal because we are part of you, the great life. And so we thank you for the life and for the blessings, and the life is victorious. Now, I want to thank all of you for joining me tonight. I have so many wonderful things to tell you about Ishu. That was his real name. And we're going to discuss many of the things that you have heard, read little bits about in the New Testament and probably wondered about because some of it just doesn't seem to quite match up. And the book, Simon Peter's True Testament, tells all about Ishu, or Jesus as you know him, who he was, what he taught, and it sheds light on many of the mysteries of the Judaic Christian story told to us in the New Testament. There are so many errors, some accidental, some through misinterpretation, and some that are intentional due to the agenda that Paul had, and of course the agenda of the Roman Catholic Church. First, as I've already shared with you, the Vatican's biggest secret is out now. This book tells all. Jesus was not Jewish. He was born into the priestly caste of the Mandaean community, which at that time was on the outskirts of Jerusalem. The average lay Mandaean was kind of a small frame, small body, and rather dark skin. But the priestly caste of the Mandaeans were taller, with lighter skin, and some of them had beautiful blue eyes, and they still do. Ishu, and that was his name in the Mandaean language. He was taller than most Mandaeans, and he had the beautiful features that they are noted for, the high prominent cheekbones and the deep-set eyes, and his were the most amazing blue. His skin gave off an almost bronzed glow, and his dark brown hair glinted gold in the sunlight. He wore white, because that is what a priest of his culture wore. He dressed always in the priestly rasta. That was what his priestly robe was. It was actually a long white tunic over pajama-like white pants, and he always wore a white turban on his head. He carried a staff of polished hardwood that had been passed down through his long lineage of priesthood from his great-great-great-grandfather and so forth on down for hundreds of years. This staff had been passed along. Priesthood is hereditary, and his father, a priest, of course, in a long line of priests, had begun training Ishu when he was just 3 years old. And he had a small little white rasta that he would put on and try to say the prayers and everything. He was precious. A priest of the Mandaean people is called a Nasarean. It's spelled Nasoraean. He was a Nasarean, not a Nazarene, as the New Testament tells you. But as I've mentioned before, that was probably miswritten by a scribe who didn't know the difference. He heard something that sounded like Nazarene, and that's what he wrote down. So the truth is, though, that Ishu was a Nasarean, okay? He was born in the stable, in his home courtyard, just as the New Testament says he was born in a stable, but they weren't sure why he was born in a stable. So there was a myth written about they must have arrived at tax time and there was no room in the inn, and so they had to stay in the stable and the baby was born. This is not true. What actually happened in his culture, the mother always goes out to the stable to have the child. She would have gone out days before the baby was born and chosen a corner of the stable that would be where she would give birth. And she would have laid out a semicircle of pebbles that had been blessed. She would have laid that out in a semicircle to designate her area. And no one and nothing was to enter that area except her and, of course, the midwife that would assist her. A manger was brought into that area with fresh straw and everything prepared for the baby. At the time, it was believed that the mother and child needed to be separated from the family for 30 days. So after when it came time for her to give birth, word would have been sent for the midwife. The midwife would meet her there in the stable, and she would kneel, not lay down on her back like we do today. She would kneel, and she would clutch a bundle of reeds because reeds were believed to favor fertility and childbirth and be the strength of the mother. So when her labor pains came upon her, she would clutch that bundle of reeds and press her head against the cool hardness of the reeds and everything. And she would present her buttocks to the midwife. And when the child was born, the midwife, of course, would clean him and or her and rub oil and salt on their skin and then wrap them in swaddling clothes and lay them in the manger. Then she would have carried the childbirth into a far corner of the yard and buried it. Returning, she would have helped the new mother to get up and go down to the river and baptize herself by dunking underwater 3 times and saying the prayers to seal her in the light and protect her from the powers of darkness. Then they would have returned to the stable, and she would dry off and put on dry clothes and then lay down on clean blankets on the straw and everything that they had prepared her bed. And she would stay in that area for 30 days. The midwife would burn more candles and burn incense all around them. And then, of course, she would have left. And the mother is there with her baby. And it's a time for her to rest and to bond with her child. So they remain in the stable for 30 days. During that time, she is baptized a couple of times. But at the end of 30 days, both the mother and the child would come out of the stable and down to the river, and the priest would baptize both of them. And it was thought very important to do the baptisms because they baptized to cleanse the person and then to put protection around them. And, of course, they believed that when a portal was opened between the physical world and the spirit world, which obviously had to happen for a child to be born, for the child to come in, a portal was opened. And they believed, and still do, I suppose, that whenever the portal is open, there is always the danger that some dark spirit or dark spirits might also have entered, and they could pollute anyone that came in touch with them. So, a great deal of baptisms were done during and around the time of childbirth to protect everyone. As I explained before, baptism was their most important ritual, and it was done, like I said, to cleanse negative energy away from the person and with the prayers to seal them in the light and protect them from the powers of darkness. Last time, I promised that I would share the beautiful baptismal prayer with you tonight. So I do ask blessings and forgiveness of the Mandaean people for sharing some of their private prayers with you. And I hope that they will forgive me for this. They are a very private people, and you cannot be converted to the Mandaean religion. You have to be born into it. And so much of their rituals and their prayers and all have always been kept secret for thousands of years. But this prayer is so beautiful, and it is so wonderful, and it is so important for people to really understand what baptism is about, or at least what the baptism that Ishu taught and lived with and by is about. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine yourself walking out into the River Jordan, just a short distance out, and you're walking out there beside Ishu, or Jesus as you know him. And when you get out a little ways, you're going to kneel in the water beside him. And you're kneeling in the River Jordan, and he's standing right beside you. The water is almost up to your shoulders as you kneel there by the Master. and he places his hand upon the crown of your head and lifts his voice to the heavens, saying, first he says your name. I want you to hear your name spoken as if Jesus were speaking it out to the heavens and to the Father of life. He speaks your name, and then he says, the name of the great life and the house of life is pronounced upon you, and protection is pronounced upon you. And he dunks your head under water. Then he says, and you are clothed in radiant light and sealed and protected against the powers of darkness. And he dunks your head underwater again. And he says, bound are the devils and the demons. Evil spirits flee. Be gone. Be vanquished by the glory of the light. Then he dunks your head underwater again and says your name. And he says, you are secured and sealed in the light. Healing shall be yours in the name of the life, the sublime life, from worlds of light. Be raised up a living soul in the great Jordan of life, worthy of the great place of light and the everlasting abode. And the life is victorious. And you rise up to stand beside him, and you feel the glory of the light embracing you, loving and protecting you. And as you return to the shore, you know that you are loved and blessed and safe. Isn't that the most precious and beautiful baptism prayer you've ever heard? Baptism was an ongoing ritual in the Mandaean's life, because any time a portal is open, a person might become polluted by dark spirits. This was not a fear or a superstition. It was more of an awareness and the knowledge that we need to be prepared to avoid evil and the havoc it can cause in our lives. It's like this. If you love the outdoors and like to go out in wild places and hike and, you know, just spend a lot of time out in remote or wilderness places, you need to be aware that there is also other creatures out there that can cause you harm. Rattlesnakes, for instance, or bears, or mountain lions. So you keep an eye out for dangerous critters. And hopefully you have some protection and some first aid knowledge or supplies with you, just in case. You don't let that create so much fear in you that you're afraid to go hiking. It's just an awareness. And of course, like I said, it's not a superstition. It's just, you know that they're out there and you do not want to come face to face with a bear or step on a rattlesnake or have a mountain lion leap out of a tree on you. So, you know, you keep an eye out and you watch where you step and you protect yourself as much as you can. It's just an awareness and a plan of action to keep yourself and those with you safe. Baptism was seen as a way to cleanse and protect so that the dark spirits can't influence us to do dark things. Very wise, don't you think? Ishu taught so many wonderful things. And I want you to take advantage of this opportunity to have a second chance to hear the truth that will set you free. The book is available now in all bookstores and online through Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any of the bookstores. And I would urge you to get a copy as soon as you can. There is so much wisdom and so much light and joy in this book. Now, the book is a print-on-demand book, so you do have to order it. You won't find it sitting on bookshelves in bookstores anywhere. We want to save as many trees as possible and not waste trees by having books that are just sitting there. Okay, so you do have to place an order for it. That's what I meant by print on demand. You just you can go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or go down to your bookstore and place an order for Simon Peter's True Testament. And it will be especially printed for you and will be mailed out to your address, and you'll have it in just a few days. If you don't want to wait a few days, you can go on Amazon.com and have it downloaded instantly to your Kindle and have it at your fingertips within seconds. Okay? So take advantage of this opportunity to hear the truth that will set you free. Now, as I said, Ishu taught us so many wonderful things that are not in the New Testament. For instance, he talked about, well, the New Testament does mention that our body is a temple of God, but it doesn't tell you any more about that. And here's what Simon says about it in the book. He said, well, Ishu said our body is the temple of God, and so we should treat it as a sacred temple. If you were asked to take care of your church, you would care for it with great love because it is the house of God. You would keep it clean and filled with beautiful furnishings and decor and fresh flowers every day. And you'd want the outside to look beautiful, and so you'd make sure the outside is freshly painted and the trees and shrubs and flowers of the landscaping are trimmed and well tended. And it would look so warm and inviting that people would feel welcome and would want to gather there. Do you take care of your body temple that way? I'll bet you never thought of it that way, did you? And here's what else Simon said. Ishu said that everything we eat or drink is an offering in the temple of God. What are you offering to God at each meal and each gathering with friends? Do you love and honor and treat your body temple with respect? Do you give it periods of rest and play as well as work? Do you recognize that other people's bodies are also holy temples of God? It's funny, in the book, the interviewer, Carolyn, says, I think a lot of people have forgotten to see themselves or others that way. I was in the mall the other day, and Lord, the things you see when you don't have a gun. I know it's a terrible joke, but you know what I mean. And Simon laughed. He said, I do. Ishu also talked about the gates to the temple. Bet you didn't know you had gates in your temple. He said there are 9 gates in a man's body and 10 in a woman's. 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, a mouth, a penis in men, a urethra in women, and an anus in each sex. The 10th gate, the vagina, possessed only by woman, is the sacred chalice capable of bringing forth new life. The ability to create a new body, new body temples within themselves, is the greatest honor and privilege that God could bestow upon mankind. And he bestowed it upon woman. Woman is blessed indeed. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? Because without woman, there would be no future. There would be no future life of humanity anyway. There would be no more people. Simon said that he takes no credit for any of this information. It was Ishu who told it to him. He said all kinds of things enter our bodies through these gates. What are you choosing to look at with your eyes? What are you choosing to listen to or to inhale? These are all offerings in the temple. We know that food and drink is an offering coming through the mouth, but Isha said that what comes out of our mouths could also pollute us and the world around us. Do you watch what you say so that your words are pleasing to God? Are the thoughts that you think in the upper chamber creating a sweet fragrance like incense for the Spirit of God that is within you? Imagine what good health and longevity we would enjoy if we treated our bodies this way. Long live the beautiful body temple. Now remember, Isha said that there are many mansions in our Father's house, and your body is the mansion you were given to live in during this lifetime. So take care of it and treat it with honor until it is time for you to leave the building. And that's what our body is. It's a beautiful temple we live in, but it is just a building that we are housed in. And when it is worn out or damaged beyond repair, then we leave the temple and we move on. And there are many mansions in our Father's house of life. So we move on to another mansion and we live lifetime after lifetime. Now, before the first show I did, I covered some of the 12 keys to the kingdom that Isha gave us. And the remarkable thing about these keys is that there are no thou shalt nots, no don'ts. All of his teachings were life-affirming. All of his teachings were about understanding our Father, God, and understanding ourselves and our relationship to God, understanding our purpose here on earth, and how we should live in a good way. So I covered the first four keys in the first show. The number one, God our Father is an eternal creative force who created life on earth. And life is defined as that which has been born and is breathing the breath of God. He said the soul or spirit is drawn into the body of the baby when it takes its first breath. With the breath of God, we are alive. Isha taught us that our Father is a great spirit that moves in all things, and that not a man sitting on a throne issuing commandments and demanding to be worshipped. Our Father is this great spirit moving in all things and loving and creating and being part of us, the thing that energizes our physical body. Number two is life. All life is sacred because it is part of our Father. And all life means not just humans, but humans, animals, plants, trees, birds, insects, reptiles, everything that breathes the breath of God. We are to treat each other and each life form with respect and honor and kindness. Number three, we do not kill because all life is a sacred part of our Father. It would dishonor our Father to kill what he has created and breathed life into. If we must kill to eat and survive, then we are to do it with kindness, causing as little pain and fear as possible, and blessing and praying with the spirits, or for the spirit of the animal to continue its life journey in peace, and giving thanks to it for giving it of itself that we might eat and live. In Isha's time, he, of course, was a vegetarian. He occasionally did eat fish, but in his time, the lay people, the priests were all vegetarians. They would not eat meat because it involved killing, but the average Mandaean or the lay Mandaean did, many of them did eat meat, but the way they did this is the priest came and he took the animal and baptized it and prayed over it. And then he slit its throat, and as it was bleeding, he was talking softly to it and saying prayers over it and caressing it and helping it to not be afraid and to die smoothly and easily and just make that transition. And he prayed that its spirit be able to move on in peace. And so that's quite a different way of doing things than we do in our culture here in the United States, where we have factory farms that treat animals like objects and no thought is given to the terror that they strike into those animals or the way they treat them. It's just a shame that there aren't laws to protect the animals from that. Anyway, getting back to Ishu's teachings, he said, as children of our Father, we are empowered to create new life on earth. That wonderful gift of being able to create new bodies within woman. So he said, it would dishonor our Father if we do not mate and bring forth children. His people believed that if a man died without having left offspring, that he would surely, no matter how pure he might have been, he would not have been allowed to go on. He would be required to come back and father a child, because that creative energy of the Father must be expressed. That is part of what we do as his creation, is we keep creating. Okay? Now, baptism, of course, which I've covered in this show, baptism, full immersion in living water, cleanses us of negative energy, and with prayers to clothe us in light and seal us against the darkness, it protects our souls. And living water means flowing water from springs, rivers, and spring-fed lakes. Living water is very important. If you know anything about water, water is a very malleable substance. If you may have read Dr. Emoto's book, The Message of the Water, where he did experiments where they froze the water from different springs and lakes from around the world. And then they took crystals from that water and magnified them tremendously to be able to see their shapes. And the ones that came from pure waters were beautiful, beautiful like snowflakes, pure and white and golden and radiating light and energy. And those from polluted waters were twisted and dark and deformed. And then they tried an experiment where they put water in a glass and they taped a word on the glass. They taped love on one and they taped hate on another. And they taped names of people like Hitler and Elvis and Mother Teresa. And it was just amazing. The water that they froze in those glasses carried the essence of what that word was. The water from the glass that said love was absolutely beautiful, radiant, just jewel-like. And the water that from the glass that said hate was all dark and twisted with swirls like mud all through it. And it was just hideous. And the same with the names of the people. According to their character, the water reflected it. Now, when you realize that 70% of our body is made up of water, imagine how our words and our thoughts affect that water in our body. Imagine how healthy we would be if the water was radiating all the time to the vibration of love and forgiveness and joy and peace and all beautiful loving emotions. Imagine how healthy would we be? And of course, you can imagine if we are carrying hate and anger and we're thinking evil thoughts about someone, how that affects the water in our body and how we get diseases and suffer pain and all sorts of problems with our bodies. Imagine just the water reflecting back to us what our thoughts and words are. So baptism is very important, and living water is very important. We have a lot of issues with water today because we've polluted just about every freshwater system in the world. And so we're all buying bottled water now that has been put through all sorts of processes and chemicals and all to make it safe and pure. And I wonder, is it still living water? So I bless my water every day that the spirit of the living water be imbued in this water that I'm about to drink, that it be filled with living light. And if you do that, amazing things happen. I'm a very, very healthy person. Thank you. Okay. Now, the sixth of the 12 keys to the kingdom is his message that was so awesome, that life is eternal. He said that we are eternal spirit beings living temporarily in a body temple, one of the many mansions in our Father's house of life. Ishu always referred to the earth and this world as our Father's house of life. And of course, our bodies, just one of the many mansions in this house of life. Trees represent another kind of mansion. Animals' bodies represent another kind of mansion. But we are all spirit beings, part of the Father, and living in mansions of one kind or another in this beautiful house of life. Number seven, he said there is no death. When the body temple that we inhabit wears out or is injured beyond repair, our spirit simply leaves the temple. Number eight is about the portals. And I'm going to go more into the portals in future shows because there are specific times during our life journey that the portals open and close. But he said portals to and from the spirit world, or how we come in at birth and how we depart at death. The portal stays open for 3 days at each event, and the soul of the newborn and the newly departed must be protected during this crucial time. Birth and death are just doorways through which we enter and depart. The concept of death as the end of life is a lie. Our spirit continues its life journey eternally because we are part of the Father of life, and the life is victorious. Now, here's one that I probably need to go more into detail about. Let's see, do I have time? Yes. Okay, number nine in the 12 keys to the kingdom of heaven is the scales of Abathar, are where our good deeds are weighed against our bad deeds. Now, I know if you've studied history and mythology, you know that all cultures have some place that they say that we will be judged somehow. Of course, the Bible makes it a place of judgment where there's going to be eternal punishment or eternal singing praises to God. So, that's, and that you have one life and then there's eternity. The truth is that there is eternity. We are in the midst of eternity. We have been in eternity for a long time. It doesn't end. It's eternal. And the spirit of our Father, which is the spirit that brought life to this house of life, is an eternal spirit, and we are part of that eternal spirit. So life goes on. But this is what he explained about the scales of Abathur. He said, when we leave our body temple, we proceed through the spirit world to the scales of Abathur. Along our route, there are way stations where light beings give us nourishment and comfort to sustain us on our journey. And Ishu said it takes 40 to 45 days for our souls to reach the scales where we are weighed. If our bad deeds outweigh our good deeds, we are sent to sojourn on other planets to learn specific lessons between lifetimes on Earth. And he said that each planet has specific things to teach us. If we have had issues with anger and aggression, we will be sent to Mars, where we will learn more about anger and aggression and learn how to handle it, how to control it. If we are too proud of ourselves and too egotistical and too bigger than life, that we think we're better than others or whatever, we might be sent to Jupiter, where we will learn lessons of being humble. Okay, and if we have problems with our thinking, with learning how to control our mind and our thoughts, we might be sent to Mercury, which is a planet of the mind. For problems with love and sex, we may have to be sent to Venus, where we will learn lessons there. And of course, if we have been stingy and greedy and selfish, we might be sent to Saturn to learn the lessons that would help us to overcome those things, those issues. And after we have had those sojourns on the other planets, we come back to Earth for another lifetime to prove that we have actually learned the lessons that will gradually unveil our true destiny. So this is a whole different way of looking at the stars, isn't it? I was so amazed when I heard this because it had never even occurred to me that we might have to go to other planets to learn specific lessons. And, of course, for those planets, there are portals to enter those planets and to leave those planets. And if you don't know how to access the portal, you don't get in. All you're going to see is a barren Mars or a ball of burning gas like Venus. But there are portals in and out of every world, every planet. Okay, and but from the spirit world, we are given access to the planet where we need to learn our lessons. And then we come here and we get to do it again and prove that we learned the lesson. If we didn't, we're going to go back and try to learn it again. And this could take a while, so don't be so stubborn. Try to master some of these things as quickly as possible. He said that we punish or reward ourselves by our own choice of actions while here on Earth. This is the 10th. Of the 12 keys to the kingdom of heaven. So we punish ourselves or reward ourselves. He said we are subject to a set of checks and balances, and some people call this karma. If we create bad energy that hurts others, we will suffer the same fate at some point in time, whether in this lifetime or another lifetime. If we create good energy that helps others, we will also be rewarded with others helping us at some point in time, whether this lifetime or another. Our punishment or reward is in direct relationship with the choices we make and the actions we take in our lives here on earth. And there is no escaping the consequences of our actions, whether they are good or bad. So pay attention, folks. If you're cheating and lying and stealing or hurting someone else, you will suffer similar things being done to you. As it said, not in this lifetime, but in some lifetime along the way, you are going to experience the very thing that you are handing out. So pay attention. What would you like to have done to or for you? Wouldn't you rather reward yourself in the future by doing good things and knowing that in the future other people are going to be doing good things for you and to you? And it all boils down to our own choices of how we live our lives. The 11th of the 12 keys to the kingdom is ascension. Now, you know, we hear a lot of people these days talking about ascension. A lot of New Agers are expecting ascension momentarily, that somehow they will raise their vibration so high that they will literally just emerge in a new reality, in another dimension. What Jesus actually taught about ascension is this, number 11, ascension. We will all eventually ascend to live in the worlds of light. He said that our destiny is in our blueprint, just as a mighty oak tree is in the blueprint of an acorn. When we have purified our spirits so that our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, we will be allowed to board the ship of light that takes us over the river that surrounds the worlds of light, and we will be home. Isn't that wonderful? We are all destined to ascend into the worlds of light. And we have an inner blueprint that says that we are great light beings. You know, we are the children of God. We are all descended from Adam, the son of God. So we are all the children of God. So what does that make us? Are we baby gods, learning how to control our powers? Oh my goodness, we have a long way to go. But we carry within us a blueprint that says, yes, we are great light beings. And that is what we are growing toward and growing to become and eventually to be able to ascend into the worlds of light and live as the great light beings. That's an awesome concept. I think if people understood that, if they knew that they are true and beautiful and good inside, and that they are the children of God, and that they are destined to become a great light being, to live in the worlds of the gods, to live in the worlds of light, wouldn't they live a better way? Wouldn't they make better choices? It's a shame that this has been hidden from people for so long, for thousands of years. The powers that be have tried to convince humans that we are worthless, sinful, that we were created in sin, and that we are worthless and we must earn the love of God, and that we are, you know, terrible beings, and we are unworthy of God even noticing us. You know, there it's just a terrible thing that the truth that we are the children of God and that our Father loves us and watches us grow and knows that He put within us a blueprint that will take us to the worlds of light, that we are great light beings growing and evolving into that great light being that will someday join him in the worlds of light. It's too bad that it's been hidden, but this is the truth that Jesus brought 2,000 years ago to let people know that, no, you were not created in sin. No, there is no such thing as original sin. You were created in love and joy, and you were loved and blessed, and you were given a beautiful world to live in, a beautiful garden world. And everything that you need is here. And that our Father loves us and wants us to live our lives in joy and love and grow into this great light being. And joy, of course, is so important. The 12th of the keys to the kingdom says joy is a spiritual thermometer that tells us when our hearts are open and filled with the love of our Father. From the cradle to the grave, and on beyond to the scales of Abathur, and throughout our sojourns on teaching planets and other lifetimes, we are always connected to the love of our Father. It is only when we close and harden our hearts that we feel alone and separated. When we open our hearts, our Father is always there with an ocean of love, joy, forgiveness, and healing to fill us up again. Thank you for joining me tonight. Please join me again 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from today. And until then, may you be blessed with love and joy and forgiveness in all that you do.
I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am a part of God's song. I am one perfect tone. I am in tune with the frequency of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am encoded with God's name. I am living in God's flame. I am eternal as the Spirit of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. Child of God, I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am embraced in love and light. I am protected by God's might. I am safe in the arms of God. I am a child of God. I am living in the temple of God. I am a child of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am breathing the breath of God. I am breathing the breath of God.